From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headline. Local farmer would be able to capitalize on the Indonesian government food estate program. House of Representatives highlight the need for the parliament to continually supervise COVID-19 handling budget. Now, news in detail. Farmer from Pulang Pisau district in Central Kalimantan province would be able to capitalize on the Indonesian government food estate program as it would help boost their income. It was stated by head of Pulang Pisau District, Edi Prastowo, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday. In conversation with local journalists after joining President Joko Widodo entourage during his official visit to Blanti Siam Village in Pulang Pisau District on Thursday, Prastowo spoke of the government developing its food estate program in the district area. Prastowo explained this food estate program was not solely targeting to preserve Indonesia food stockpiles, but also focus on boosting the country agriculture production. He pointed out the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations has warned that the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic may trigger a shortage of food stockpiles. House of Representatives Commission 11 Putri Aneta Komarudin highlight the need for the Parliament to continually supervise COVID-19 handling budget to ensure there are no cartel in the medical devices sector controlling market prices. Putri Aneta in a statement received by Antara News Agency in a virtual seminar theme, the Parliament role in the supervising COVID-19 budget held by the board in cooperation with the Westminster Foundation for Democracy on Friday stated that the Parliament should ensure there are no agreement or cartel that are controlling the prices. Apart from keeping cartel at bay, Aneta believed that the House should also ensure that the government procure medical devices are of good quality and in line with the World Health Organization standard. Global temperature will keep warming in the next 5 years and could even temporarily go over the limit. Scientists warn that mean catastrophic climate change as stated by Reuters. That 1.5 degrees Celsius, but those temporary rises wouldn't mean the world has crossed the long-term warming threshold. The World Meteorological Organization, WMO, said Thursday, July 9, its latest finding highlight the enormous challenge the world faced in the meeting the 2015 Paris Agreement goal. That was WMO chief Petteri Tallas' statement.
So of course the warming of the planet continues, and so far we haven't been very successful in implementation of the Paris Agreement. The greenhouse gas concentrations, especially carbon dioxide concentration, still continues in the atmosphere, and that's the main reason for this warming.
Moreover, under the Paris deal, nations agreed to curb emission to keep the rise in temperature way below 2 degrees Celsius. Tallas said nearly every region will feel the effect warming. Southern Africa and Australia, where bushfire last year raised a million of acres, will probably be drier than usual throughout 2024, while Africa Sahel region will likely to be wetter. Healthcare system worldwide need to upgrade to control disease transmission and cope with large number of sick people during the coronavirus pandemic as well as future outbreak. It was warned by the head of the World Health Organization Emergency Program, Dr. Michael Ryan, on Friday as stated by Reuters. Speaking during a video panel session organized by the International AIDS Society, Dr. Michael Ryan stated, world leaders grappling with the current pandemic need to take a leaf out of the HIV activist book and make sure access to healthcare is equitable and evidence-based. He said coronavirus pandemic, which has not yet peaked in many parts of the world, has exposed weaknesses and left billions of people without reliable and affordable access to essential health services. U.S. President Donald Trump's planned executive order on immigration will not include amnesty for migrants who are in the United States illegally but arrive in the country's children. It was said by a White House spokesman, Jude Dury, on Friday as stated by Reuters. He also explained in a statement after Trump said in a television interview his planned order would include a road to citizenship for such immigrants known as Dreamers. This was not include amnesty. In the interview with Spanish-language TV network Telemundo, Trump said his executive order would involve deferred action for childhood arrival, or DACA, the program that protects hundreds of thousands of such immigrants from deportation. Russia and China veto a last-ditch attempt to a Western member of the UN Security Council to extend approval, which expired on Friday, for humanitarian aid to be delivered across two borders crossing into Syria from Turkey for the next 6 months. As stated by Reuters, the United Nations say millions of Syrian civilians in the country northwest depend on the humanitarian aid delivered from Turkey, describing it as a lifeline. The remaining 13 council members voted in favor for the resolution on Friday. The 15-member council has been split, with most members pitted against Syria, allies Russia and China, who want to cut the number of border crossings to be one, arguing those areas can be reached with humanitarian help from Syria. Australia's second-largest city, Melbourne, went back to lockdown at midnight Wednesday, forcing 5 million Australians to stay at home for all but essential businesses will for the next 6 weeks to contain a flare-up of coronavirus cases. As said by Reuters, state police were patrolling the city and setting up checkpoints on major roads to stop people heading out to regional area and spreading the virus from what is now Australia pandemic epicenter with 860 active cases. Victoria Police in a statement stated that the window for police discretion is very small and is closing as the threat to public health and safety created by the dose breaching the chief health officer direction is too great. Cafe, bars, restaurant, and gym, which only recently reopened, had to shut again. That is the news, read out by Antin Supriyati.
This is Voice of Indonesia with news from the archipelago. The first news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Bali Governor Iwayan Koster leads a tour implementing the new normal life protocol, which marked the opening of tourism activities on the island to the local community. When releasing the tour group last Thursday, the governor expressed his hope that this effort could encourage the community to be able to implement a new life order protocol in the province of Bali in an orderly and disciplined manner. The tour to a number of attraction and trade centers in various regencies or cities in Bali was led by Bali Deputy Governor Cokorda Oka Arte Ardana Sukawati. It conducted a field review related to the adoption of a new era life protocol. Some of the objects addressed include the Bali Safari Marine Park in Gianyar, Kertagoza in Klungkung, Beach Walk Mall, and Kuta Beach in Badung. Previously, the governor of Bali had issued a circular concerning the new era of life order protocol. It has prepared three schemes, namely the first phase, Thursday, July 9th, for local Balinese tourists. Then the second phase is planned for July the 31st, which is expanded to the tourism sector for tourists from other parts of Indonesia. Regions or mayors in Bali, according to him, are committed to take responsibility in implementing the new era health protocol in each region so that everything runs in an orderly, smooth, and disciplined and responsible manner. Next news comes from Banjarmasin, Central Kalimantan. The spread of COVID-19 cases in Banjarmasin City, the capital of South Kalimantan, is increasingly worrying. Even a number of villages have now been labeled black zones. However, there is one resilient village on Jalan Batu Benawa whose residents are not exposed to COVID-19 even though it is in the middle of the black zone, namely Teluk Dalam Sub-District Central Banjarmasin District. Nahwani Syahwan, a neighborhood head, said on Wednesday that the people in the area had indeed agreed to make their settlements resilient from the spread of COVID-19. They named it Kampung Tangguh, or Resilient Kampung or Village, Banua, where its citizens apply strict health protocols. Access to and from the residents' housing, consisting of four neighborhood groups, is limited to only one gate, so that people's traffic can be monitored easily. Quarantine homes are also available if there are residents who are suspected of exposed to COVID-19 and so on. In this case, volunteers would immediately coordinate with health workers at the Teluk Dalam Community Health Center so that treatment can be quickly carried out. Previously, the Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, wanted the resilient village to be an example for the national level in an effort to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. Muhajir said what the residents did in the resilient village was a good example and could be adopted for other regions in Indonesia because it promoted community mutual cooperation to meet their needs independently as well as handling the COVID-19 pandemic. The latest news comes from Kendari, North Sulawesi. As many as 110 students from elementary, junior high, and senior high schools, or equivalent, were given training and outreach to improve their understanding and skills in the arts and culture towards a new normal, which was held by the North Sulawesi Province Education and Culture Office's Museum and Cultural Park. The training and outreach activities for the students were centered at the Southeast Sulawesi Cultural Park's arts while still complying with the COVID-19 health protocol and was carried out for 3 days from July the 7th until 9. Chair of the program organizer, Dr. Syuhida, said that the aim of the training was to improve students' understanding and skills in the arts and culture. Well, that was news from Indonesian Archipelago for this week.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on July 11th on World Population Day. World Population Day has been commemorated on July 11th since 1989 by the United Nations Development Program. The aim is to remind the rapid development of the world's dense population and various consequences that occur. In addition, it also calls on the global community to participate in solving these problems. Next event is that in 1995, Serbian forces committed a massacre in Srebrenica. Srebrenica massacre was a massacre of more than 8,000 men and teenagers of Bosnian Muslim ethnic in the Srebrenica region of Bosnia committed by Serb forces led by General Ratko Mladic. On February 27, 2007, International Court decided the tragedy as genocide. Then General Mladic became international fugitive because he was proven guilty of committing the genocide and various war crimes in Yugoslavia. The last event is that in 2010, Spain gained the World Cup for the first time. In the final of World Cup 2010, which was held on July 11th, Spain defeated the Netherlands through extension of time. Andres Iniesta scored a single goal in the 116th minute. Finally, the single goal made Spain gain world champion for the first time and also created its mission to obtain at once titles of European Cup and World Cup. Spain that came to the 2010 South Africa World Cup with status as European Cup 2008 champions was able to achieve victory after victory on its way to the final. Spain defeated top teams like Portugal, Germany, and Uruguay and met the Netherlands in the final. And listener, that was today in history.
Sudah sewindu ku di dekatmu, ada di setiap pagi, di sepanjang harimu. Tak mungkin bila engkau tak tahu, bila ku menyimpan rasa yang ku pendam sejak lama. Setiap pagi ku menunggu di depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan, ualan cinta dan masa depan. Engkau lupakan aku, semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan, ualan cinta dan masa depan. Engkau lupakan aku, semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Bila kini nyatanya engkau memilih dia, takkan lagi ku sebodoh ini larut di dalam angan, angan tanpa tujuan.
Oh,
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on three ASEAN countries' work against COVID-19 impact. Three ASEAN countries joined in the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle, or IMTGT, expressed their commitment to unite in facing the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. This commitment will be realized in the form of economic recovery by promoting health protocols. Acting Secretary General of the Ministry of Manpower, Budi Hartawan, in a written statement on Wednesday, July 8th, said this commitment was reached at a conference on managing the impact of COVID-19 on the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle Working Group on Human Resources Development, Education, and Culture Cooperation via video conference. Budi Hartawan explained strategic collaboration between neighboring countries is needed, especially in the framework of the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle cooperation that focuses on the recovery of the sub-regional economies in the border regions of Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. During the conference, the Asian Development Bank, ADB, data during the COVID-19 pandemic was presented. It shows economic growth in the ASEAN region has decreased from 4.7% in 2019 to 1% in the first quarter of 2020. Based on the report of the International Labour Organization, ILO, workers in the ASEAN region have experienced a decline of a complete loss of income, even loss of benefits and social protection related to work. The risk is often higher for women migrant workers. The COVID-19 pandemic also poses new challenges in the employment sector, namely hampered global supply chains and reduced production output. This is due to large-scale local restriction and restriction on the movement of mobility or people or labor. Budi also explained that communities in the border regions were also affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Their economy is still highly dependent on trade interaction and mobility across countries. Meanwhile, the head of foreign cooperation of the Ministry of Manpower, Indah Anggoro Putri, as the chair, said the conference had produced a recommendation of potential collaboration between the three countries in handling the impact of COVID-19 in the labor sector. This will be adjusted to the 2017-2021 Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle Blueprint Implementation. For example, increasing training capacity in the field of digital marketing and the use of technology in support of the employment and micro, small, and medium enterprises sectors in the border areas. Also, strengthening the role of local governments in terms of improving skills and empowering the economic community. Indah added that these strategic efforts need to be taken in order to maintain the continuity of work and the business world so that they can survive and revive after the pandemic to contribute to the socio-economic sector, especially in border areas. Well, that was My Indonesia today on three ASEAN countries' work against COVID-19 impact.
Ini ku akan akrobat dengan hidung merah tomat. Jangan sampai terlambat, kostumku siap, hati-hati kau terpikat. Oh, bercinta dengan singa terlatih, bersepeda roda satu, menari menari di atas tali. Takut jatuh, aku lebih takut jatuh tanpa dirimu.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we are going to take you to Banyuwangi, East Java Province. Besides becoming a tourist city, Banyuwangi also has a lot of delicious culinary specialties, which become the pride of Banyuwangi. One of them is the kesrut soup, which is now rare to find. Kesrut soup or jangan kesrut is a past food and is getting forgotten. The typical food of the Osing tribe, which is a tribe in Banyuwangi, has begun to be difficult to find because there are only a few regions that still make it. This Osing tribe food contains spicy flavor. Usually, these kesrut soup sellers only provide two types, namely meat kesrut soup and trotter kesrut soup. If you want chicken kesrut soup, you must reserve first. For the spices, there are usually big chili, cayenne pepper, tomatoes, leeks, shrimp paste, salt and sugar, as well as tree sorrel, or more commonly called belimbing ulu. This is what makes the kesrut soup taste fresh, because there is a savory taste from meat, sour from tree sorrel, and spicy. By paying 15,000 rupiah up to 20,000 rupiah, you will get one portion of kasrut soup with rice, a thick and crispy piece of tempeh, and gepuk. You can also add fresh chili sauce, tofu pepes, and skin crackers or rambak. Currently, kasrut soup is mostly found in stalls in Banyuwangi City and the countryside on the slopes of Mount Ijen. To preserve this ancient culinary style, star hotels in the Banyuwangi region also offer a menu of kasrut soup. Listeners, because every time you eat this spicy Osing tribe typical food, your nose will be runny like you have a cold and make a sound kesrut kesrut. Then it is called kesrut soup. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring kesrut soup, typical culinary from Banyuwangi, East Java Province. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you!
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Belum bisa melupakan. bisa melupakan, melupakan kekasih yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia mulai tahu.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to miscellany. Today we are going to inform you about innovation of the nation's youth amid COVID-19 pandemic. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Listeners, COVID-19 pandemic has brought about a huge impact on human life. Related to this, it did not make the students, especially the vocational high school of the Model Indonesian Teachers Education Association or PGRI, Wan Mejayan, Madiun Regency East Java, feel worried about a sense of concern, but they rise to make creation. The encouragement to innovate students is realized by creating electric vehicles with pollution-free concepts. This is aimed at helping boost the people's economy. The electric car created by Mejayan Madiun Vocational School students is called the MSME's electric car because it is specifically designed as a selling vehicle for micro, small, and medium enterprises or MSMEs. Before becoming an electric car, the students initially designed this vehicle with the pedal method and they call it a love train. However, the idea was cancelled to be realized because to pedal the vehicle needed extra energy, which they considered ineffective. The choice finally switches to electric-powered vehicles. About a month, finally they realized an electric vehicle whose cruising range reaches 90 kilometers. Physically, this vehicle is 2.5 meters long and 1.5 meters wide. This electric car is designed transparent and its body is made of acrylic and aluminium, just like a walking display case, so that the products can be seen from the outside. Since the car is made for sale, it is designed to run at medium speed or a maximum of 40 km per hour. To maintain safety on the road, the car is also equipped with headlights, brake and turn signal lights, and rear view mirror. This car can hold a weight of 6 adults or about 360 kilograms. It is also designed to be able to place 3 accumulators as a resource. If one accumulator runs out, just move to the second one available, and so on. If later it is mass produced, one unit of MSME's electric car is priced at 20 million rupiah per unit. That was Miss Eleni for today. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. Bye-bye.
Andai kau di sini, ku akan merasa cinta.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Rindu Malam, to be sung by Bram Titali, or well known with the name Bram Aceh. His ability in singing keroncong songs is no doubt anymore. Therefore, his nickname is Buaya Keroncong and father of Indonesian keroncong. This original keroncong song, which was composed by Sukamto, tells about homesickness, which always comes at night. When sleeping well and shining moon, the homesickness comes and creeps. It makes the eyes unable to be closed and the heart beats. Melodious music, which accompanies the song, gives calmness for everybody who listens to it. Well, listener, here is Bram Aceh with keroncong song entitled Rindu Malam.
Menyampaikan salam.
Voice of Indonesia.
Cahaya terang di timur daya, merah merona, maka datang musim bunga di sela bintana. Mari bertamasya di taman sela bintana, langit mendulang terang karena sinar surya. Alangkah wanginya semerbak harumnya, sudi apa kiranya memujanya. Mawar melati kala datang angin menyebarkan wangi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tak bisa.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.